Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine, and today is Free Advice Friday, the day that I take your calls and answer your questions about narcissistic abuse issues. The number to call, if you'd like to call in, is 424-220-1801. That's 424-220-1801. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You can call with questions or comments or share your experience. Thank you. So today, I am excited to tell you that I have just released my memoir titled Cliff Edge Road. This book is a brutally honest, gripping autobiographical account of my bizarre life growing up with a narcissistic mother and the pattern of adult trauma that followed. In Cliff Edge Road, I tell the intriguing stories of a segment of my life, and I tell it with my signature, Have Coffee With Me and Chat, talking and writing style. I know you will enjoy the host of fascinating, memorable three-dimensional characters that leap off the page. And I have included actual photos of the characters and events in the book to bring even more life to the story. Through Cliff Edge Road, I teach you, the reader, that no matter the circumstances, there is always hope. Nothing is impossible. Miracles do happen, and you will read about the miracles that happened in my life. Amazing. Cliff Edge is spelled with one word, not two, so it's C-L-I-F-F-E-D-G-E. It is currently on Amazon in both paperback and digital formats. It will soon be available in Barnes & Noble in both formats and can be ordered through any bookseller. You can also access it through the link on my website, randyfine.com, in my book, in the My Books section. So take a look at it. You will not be disappointed. It is a really good book. Again, this is a call-in show. If you'd like to call in, the number is 424-220-1801. I have received a letter from someone who would like me to answer this on air. So I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to explain my answer. If you have anything to chime in with, please do call 424-220-1801. This is a letter. I love listening to your show. I want to ask a question. I grew up in a very dysfunctional, abusive home. I was the black sheep of the family, and no matter what I did, I was blamed and accused of everything that went wrong. Yes, sometimes I did some of these things. As I grew older, the abuse got worse, and I ran away a lot. Fast forward many years. Parents divorced. Mom died of being an alcoholic. I haven't seen my father in 20 years. I have not spoken to most of my brothers in 15. I had my own problems, drugs, alcohol, depression, but I was the lucky one in the family. It's a very long story. My question is this. I have not seen my father in 20 years, but he had a stroke, and now that he has a health problem, his wife, my stepmother, has reached out to me. Now, this is the same guy that would hit, kick, slap, throw you downstairs, belittle you, and a whole lot more. I honestly don't know what to do. What do you owe your parents? Anything? You know, this is a dilemma that many of us go through, especially when our parents are elderly and the tradition in society, pretty much every society, is to take care of our parents as they age and they need us. That said, narcissistic abuse and any other horrendous abuse where there has been no remorse and nothing has changed is an entirely different story. And it is something that many people feel guilty about because of what other people say. Not what we feel inside, but what other people say to us, what their opinions are, what the pressure is for society. But if you have been abused for years and years and years, and your abuser, which is your father, has had no remorse, has changed nothing about his ways, and you have had to go no contact as a result of it, in my opinion, you owe nothing to your father. Just because he had a stroke and just because people are reaching out to you does not mean that you're obligated to do anything about this. This is a time where it's a time of soul searching. It's a time of seeing how you feel, truly feel about this situation. You may care about it, but you may not really want to be involved. You may feel like this is something you better do or you're not going to be resolved. But it truly is based on how you feel, how comfortable you are with the situation. So if you have seen your parents who are needy, and normally children would step in, but you feel nothing and no responsibility towards them, then you have no responsibility towards them. That is entirely up to you. You know, the thing that many people bring up in these situations is that what happens if they die? How are we going to feel? So I think it's important that you explore that aspect of yourself to see exactly how you would feel. If you've gone no contact and you've decided these are just people, they're not even your parents anymore, you have no connection to them, you want nothing to do with them, Because when you're with them or you contact them, all you get is manipulation and abuse. If you are resolved in that, then that is the answer to your question. The dilemma comes, as I said before, when people on the outside look at us like we're terrible people because we don't want to be involved. But this is something that has been going on throughout the entire situation, throughout the years and years of abuse. Everyone looks on and has an opinion. But their opinion does not matter because they don't understand this at all. They have not lived it. They have not suffered through it. They have not struggled to heal from it. And they cannot begin to understand the confusion that this disorder causes. And they've never seen it because it happens behind closed doors. So if we live our life based on how other people feel, what they say to us, their comments, we cannot live authentically to our own needs. And our own needs are the most important thing of all. Because in this kind of abuse, we are taught that our needs don't matter. We don't matter. We have no voice. We lose ourselves in this kind of abuse. And in order to recover from it, we have to find ourselves again, and we have to develop strong self-love, self-love to the point where we refuse to let anyone or anything threaten our peace of mind. Nothing. Not family, not friends, nothing. And this is why I say if you know, when you're struggling with this, the question to ask yourself is, me or them? When I say that, I mean, who am I doing this for? Me or them? How do I feel and what will the residual feelings be if I do something I'm not feeling like I want to do? Me or them? Can I live with myself? Does this set off an entire new set of triggers for me? Does it pull me back or suck me back into the old mindset I had? Am I going to create anxiety and stress over this? If the answer is that you are going to be affected by this contact, then you cannot have the contact because you must take care of you. You must protect you. You must love yourself. You must not let anyone threaten that peace of mind that you've achieved and hopefully you have achieved. I am in the same boat. I have counseling clients who are in the same boat. What's really interesting about narcissists is that they are survivors, like you would not believe. And this may be hard to wrap your head around, but no matter how pitiful they are, what they're going through, trust me, they have a network of people helping them. Narcissists have this amazing way of recruiting what we call flying monkeys around them. They do everything that pitiful, elderly, infirm narcissist needs. So we think we're needed. In fact, we aren't. Because they've already recruited everything that they need. if you were a fly on the wall, you'd be able to see this. If you're in no contact, you're not going to know. But I promise you, because narcissists, as I said, are survivors. They have a way of getting everything that they need. They play the pity card. And all these people run to help them. They give them money. They buy them groceries. They do their laundry. They take them to the doctor and take them on errands. They stop by and visit. They call. I guarantee, without knowing any of your parents, that they have a network of people catering to them. So if you're feeling that as if they are poor, poor, pitiful, pitiful people, and oh my gosh, they're saying I need you, or someone else is saying they need you, I guarantee you they do not. For some people, that's hard because they want to be in their parents' lives. They want to be a daughter. They want to be a son. They want to be needed. They want, because needing them feels like they're being loved or cared for. So it's very hard to accept that parents don't need them. We have a caller. I'm going to take this caller. Good morning. Thank you for calling in. How can I help you, or what can we talk about today?
Hi. I just wanted to call in. I don't know who wrote that, but oh my gosh. I think that when you read that, I think I stopped right in my tracks, you know. And I think that was some of the best advice I think I've ever heard. Kind of similar situation, you know, but I agree totally with what you said. You know, I think it's up to, you know, whatever circumstances there are, but, you know, that pity party, you know, towards the end of, you know, their, you know, your, whoever's parents' lives, you know, but I can see that, you know, because I went through a similar situation with my own. And, you know, it's almost like they kind of wreak havoc on, you know, whoever's lives. And then towards the end, they're kind of like, whoa, you know. And it was, it's just amazing, you know, that letter. And I just, I don't know, I can't get over that, you know. And I just loved your advice.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I thank you for validating that and affirming that. Yes, you know, I mean, it is, the pressure is the thing that we wrestle with. It is not ourselves, usually. It's what other people say and how they feel. So, oh, I'm so glad that resonated with you, and I so appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. We have another caller. Let's see what's going on. Well, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Hi. What is your question or comment?
No comment. But I'm going to have to tell you that my my phone app is kind of bad. So if you feel a verb, an echo, let me know, and I will correct it as best as possible. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
There's a sound in the background.
There is.
I think it's my voice, actually.
It is. It's your voice. What I'm going to do, I'm going to continue talking to you, but I won't be able to hear you until I finish talking and then readjust my phone. So, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get rid of the echo, and then I'll tell you what I feel.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Okay, we're just waiting for the caller to adjust his phone so that we can hear what he has to say. I hope that that what I'm saying is resonating with you as well. At some point in your life, you will be faced with this. It's inevitable. Unless your parents die young, anyone who has elderly parents is going to experience this. Okay, you're back?
Okay, you're back. Oh, you didn't hear me?
Did not hear any of that.
Okay. Oh, well.
All right, so just say it. Just say it now.
All right. Your advice is very good. It's what I would call rational love. How do you tell between somebody who's being a narcissist and somebody who is maybe just being a little bit selfish? So that's my question.
Okay, and it's a really, really good question. It's one that everyone asks. So when I talk about a narcissist, I'm talking about someone with narcissistic personality disorder. Okay, so this is a personality disorder. Anyone who has a personality disorder version of anything, whether it be narcissism, whether it be obsessive compulsive, there are many disorders, personality disorders. The difference is that someone who does not have the personality disorder is affected by the way they treat people. They know what they know the impact they're having. And if they don't, and someone confronts them with it, they can see it. They are willing, or may be willing, to make changes and can do that. Someone who has a personality disorder does not see at all how they're affecting people. They don't care. They just go about their life doing what they do without any consideration for how anyone else feels. And that is the distinction between the two. Narcissism, healthy narcissism, is something we all have, or we all should have, to a degree. When you think about children, children are very narcissistic. They're very self-focused. And as they get older, they sort of lose that. But we want to keep some essence of loving ourselves and thinking we're great. So that's very different than having a disorder where your motive is to hurt and abuse people, to control their minds, to ruin their lives. Does that help you?
All right, I'm glad you put the last part in about the narcissistic disorder, about people who are willing and want to hurt other people's lives. That definitely would be a very strong indication of somebody who's really off the wall. What about the people who feel entitled? Let's say a beautiful woman or a male athlete who they've been treated very well ever since they were kids. They don't want to hurt you, but they have a sense of entitlement, and you really can't get through to them. At what point do you stop trying to get through to them to let them know that they're being selfish? Back to you.
Okay. There are people out there. There are many people walking around that have senses of entitlement, especially now. We have a whole new generation of people who feel entitled. It is really kind of a lack of gratitude is what we're dealing with here. When people feel entitled, they have a lack of gratitude for the things and the gifts that they have in their life and the people that they have in their life. The only thing that I can say is if you cannot get through to this person, and this really goes for any kind of situation, if this person is not willing to make any changes for your behalf, then what then you have no relationship, because a relationship is comprised of two people giving 100% and 100%, two people who are both committed to making that relationship work. And that means that when one person has an issue, the other person needs to hear it. And you can try a couple times, but that other person, if they don't hear it and they don't make the necessary changes, then you cannot have a relationship. It becomes one-sided. Does that explain
what you're asking? I agree with you on that. Again, I can't hear you right now because I have put myself on mute. But I agree with you with that. But that's for the ordinary people. Let's say two people who are into a relationship, maybe they've been around with each other for a couple of months, and maybe they can't get through. So how do relationship counselors, psychologists, get through to the people who are their clients to let them know that, hey, Johnny, I understand you feel that you're great, okay? And I agree with you. You've got talent, you've got brains, et cetera. But you have certain behavior patterns towards your girlfriend that is harmful to her, and it doesn't cost you anything to stop. So stop. Now what do you do when the person says, well, I don't agree with you? Back to you.
Okay, just that last sentence. Can you hear me?
Yeah, my last sentence was, how do you get that person? Okay, if you're saying this to, let's say, the guy, and he's a narcissist, and you say to him, you're great, I agree with you, but you should stop doing particular behavior patterns because it is good for you to stop. It is good for her if you stop. So how do you get through to the person who's your client once you say that to them, and then they say, I don't feel that I'm doing something wrong? Okay, back to you.
Okay, got it. Okay. The first thing I have to say about that is that someone has got to want to change in order to change. That is the bottom line. You can't make anyone change. You can make them aware of the fact that their behavior is affecting people negatively. You can make them aware that they're messing up the relationship, but you cannot make them change. And that's very frustrating. So you can say, all right, well, you better go to see a therapist and get this, you know, get this straightened out. The therapist can only do what the person is willing to do. You cannot brainwash, as a narcissist does. You cannot brainwash anyone to change. My method that I use for people who are kind of hard-headed is I always like to pass on inspirational information. So something like some kind of article about gratitude versus greediness, you know, something like that that's inspirational or that shows the point that you're trying to make. Because when you are saying it to that other person, they're blocking you out. They don't want to hear it. You've said it. They've heard it. You've said it. They've heard it. You've said it. They've heard it. And only when they have something to lose, they may be willing to change if they have something to lose. But you can't make that person change. So you have to decide what you want to do. If this is offensive or hurtful to you.
All right. Now, I've got an opinion. I've got a little philosophy that I've shared with others. I'm going to tell you what it is and get your opinion on that, because what you said pretty much mirrors what my particular philosophy is. I've told people, because I've talked to people over the decades about relationships. I'm not a counselor or anything. I'm just interested in that, and I've talked to dozens of people. So I've said to them, look, I don't have the panacea for relationships. I don't know how you can find a really good one. But I do have an antidote for bad ones. And here's what I suggest, and this is what I tell people. If you too feel that you're going to get into a relationship right now because the past 2 months, 3 months of dating, they've been really good, you should sit down, you should write out what you like about each other, what you don't like about each other, what the deal breakers are, and see if you can come to an agreement over them now. And if you can't, then it's better to experience the heartbreak now than to get into a relationship with your hopes and dreams and your heart on your sleeve and find out after 2 years that you should never have entered that relationship and suffer a major heartbreak later. So, okay, back to you.
Okay. So what I have to say about that is if you are engaging in this activity with a healthy-minded person, I see nothing wrong with that. If you've both stated that you want this commitment or you want to move in together before you do that, I see nothing wrong with that. The only problem I see is that if the person is a narcissist, they will play the game with you. And they will do it exactly how you want them to do it. And you won't know the difference because while they're getting to know you, they are basically interviewing you in the first stages of dating and getting to know each other. They are interviewing you to find out what you want, what your needs are, what hurts you, where your buttons are, so that once they decide they have you and they switch over to the abuse, they know exactly what to do. So, as I said, it's not always going to be true what people write and what their, you know, goals are. I would say that someone who matches you very closely, someone who has mirror experiences to yours, and oh yeah, I've done that, or I like that, or yeah, my mother did that too, or everything you say, they kind of agree. Red flag. Other than that, my way of dealing with this is that I tell people, get to know the other person in neutral territory. Do not go to either one of your places so that you're not bringing sex and that temptation into it before you're ready. Have dates and go hiking, go on walks, go to the park. Do things that are very wholesome and get to know that person. And then verify. Whatever they tell you, verify it. If you can't verify it, it's not true. So, and that person should be willing to offer you evidence if you're unsure of what they're saying, if you can't find evidence of what they're saying. We cannot trust people in this day and age. We cannot look for the good in them just because we, you know, we want to be nice people. We have to be smart about who we get involved with. And that means that the other person has got to earn your trust, 100%. This all goes, you know, and I can solidify this into one thing, and that is your intuition, what you feel in your gut. Somebody says something, and something inside of you says, that's weird, trust it. How does that sound? What do you think? We need you to come back.
Hello.
Okay. All right. What do you think about what I said? Are you there?
Here we go. I happen to agree with everything that you've said, but with regards to my particular philosophy about writing down what you like, don't like, here's the purpose of that. Taking into consideration, let's say, somebody who is very narcissistic and wants to trap you, wants to do everything that you believe that he or she is going to do, Here's the purpose of the writing down of the piece of paper, and with me personally. If I like you, I don't care how much I like you, if you and I have three arguments, especially if it's on the fourth argument, because three strikes you're out with me, then I know that whatever you agree to, you lied. Because if you agree to it knowing up front what it is that pleases me, pleases you, and what we've compromised on, and later on, even though you're a narcissist and you're the cleverest narcissist in the world, you're going to have to show your colors. When you show your colors, then I know that you've lied. And you'd be surprised how fast my feelings for somebody can just dissipate when I find out you're not sincere. So that's
okay.
The purpose, for me, of the particular paper. Back
okay.
to you.
So you may have sharper radar, because you may have experienced this enough times that you have sharper radar. But I can tell you that the way the narcissist works is they are the ideal person until they know they have you, until you either commit to a relationship, move in, get engaged, something that is a pivotal moment where they say, I've got that person, I've hooked them. Until that time, you may see some red flags if you know what to look for. And obviously, it sounds like you do. You may see some. If you don't know what to look for, you're going to dismiss them and excuse them, find reasons for them, and not really pay attention to them. So you happen to have a more discernment when it comes
to this. Okay, let me interrupt you for a second, because, again, I cannot hear you when I'm talking because this app sucks. But
okay.
I know what you're saying, but it's not radar on my part. It's the fact that if a woman agrees with me that, look, 3 o'clock in the morning in case the car breaks down, don't call me at 3 o'clock in the morning to get out of bed to help you. You've got AAA. You were a gymnast in high school. You can take out the tire iron, and you can do it yourself. It's a pet peeve of mine, I would tell her. And she agrees to that. Now, she calls me once, 3 o'clock in the morning. She calls me twice at 3 o'clock in the morning. We've had a discussion about it. She calls me again, third time, 3 o'clock in the morning. I know it's a habit. She's got me, but she doesn't have me anymore. Because now she's shown me, not by radar, but because she's shown her colors, that she is not to be trusted. She lied. Okay, back to you.
Okay. Well, that sounds like three strikes you're out to me. Yeah, one time maybe they forgot.
Yeah, that's what I said before. Maybe that's the part that didn't come across because my app went screwy. Yeah, it's three strikes, four strikes, you're out. That's the purpose
right.
of the paper. What do you commit
okay.
to? You committed
so what
to it.
I,
you know how
what
I feel.
Say,
I don't believe
okay.
in this men are from Mars, women are from Venus crap. You understand
okay.
English. I understand English. And you're right.
Okay.
You know, you have to
okay.
think of
so,
yourself. But I believe in rational selfishness. You think of yourself and you think of others as they think of you as well. If you two can meld together, and I call it mutual reciprocation, you show me appreciation, support, I will show you appreciation and support. And from there, we will build up our particular levels of trust. That's my philosophy. Back to you.
You're right. So this is where boundaries come in. This is this whole boundary issue. We each have, in a relationship, relationships can't work if you don't have set boundaries of what you will and will not tolerate, what you're comfortable with, and what you're not comfortable with, where you draw a line. So before you get into a relationship, your boundaries should be defined of yourself, and you need to be clear with other people. When they cross your boundaries, you need to be able to say to them, wait, you know, I said this, you are now crossing my boundaries. You know, I have stated this, I've told you what I don't like, and you are stepping all over me, okay? So I'm going to forgive it this time, but I'm telling you, this is very important to me, and I will not tolerate this. So, you know, when I said three strikes, you're out, three strikes should be the most. I would almost do it on the second one, because if you don't get harsh on that second one, then you are seen as a doormat and they will keep doing it. Back to you.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had stopped just to stop. I don't know if
yeah.
you were waiting for me to come in. Yeah.
Back to you.
Back to you. I know,
we only have a few minutes.
With the CB that we're doing right now.
Yeah, we only have a few minutes. Maybe
yeah,
maybe a minute or
so
two.
So far, since I got here about 15, 20 minutes ago, you've been absolutely on the money as far as I'm concerned. Self-love, yes. You have to distinguish between those who are narcissistic to a degree and narcissistic personalities who want to hurt you. And yes, for the most part, there are a lot of people who will not accept some criticism about their personality and behavior because we all want to be perfect. But unfortunately, we're not perfect. And unless we are willing to take a look at ourselves and see ourselves as imperfect human beings, both people, then we really can't enter into a relationship if we're always going to have our guard up, or unless we feel, well, I'm perfect and I have to be perfect for my self-image, you know. And unfortunately, when you said about 5 minutes ago, the way the world is now, that was unfortunately a true thing to you, for you to have said. All right, I'll look back to you.
Okay, I'm going to have the last word on this since we are coming down to the end of the show. So what I have to say about relationships is so many of us want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And, yeah, maybe back in the 50s and 60s, maybe even in the 70s, Things were more honest. The world was more honest. We didn't have internet and all these apps and, you know, sites and things like that and devices. We cannot give anyone the benefit of the doubt. We cannot. That may sound harsh, but I'm a very nice person. I'm as nice as they come. I've had to develop boundaries. And I know what feels right and what doesn't feel right to me. In relationships, you must be able to trust that person completely. I say, you know, one of the things I say is, if you wouldn't go into business with that person because you have all the things, all the same kind of direction, the feeling about money, the way to compromise, if you would not go into business with that person, then you should not marry them. Because you need to trust that person implicitly. And when you state a boundary and someone deliberately crosses it, they are testing you. They are testing you to see how far you will let them go. And you cannot let them go anywhere with that. One time, warning. Second or third time, done. You know, people, actually my family, thinks I'm cold and cruel. I am not. I've had to develop this kind of attitude in order to protect myself. As I was saying, you know, listen, anyone who goes through narcissistic abuse, and I went through childhood narcissistic abuse, we are damaged. We have to protect ourselves. So we're running out of time. I do hope you are going to pick up a copy of Cliff Edge Road. I know you will enjoy it. People tell me they cannot put the book down, and they love the characters. So check it out for me. My website is randyfine.com, and I will be back to do this show 1 month from, well, it's actually the second Friday in December, and the call-in number is 424-220-1801. May joy and serenity always be yours.
Randy,
goodbye.
I interrupt you again, even though
goodbye.
You're running out
we're
of
done.
Time.
We're
if
done.
You do this once a month. Okay.